But let's start with the letter that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote. I don't know if the Chaver saw this. Could be it's going around, could be you saw it. It's important to just hear from one of the greatest, Rav Moshe Feinstein. I have a copy of it here. October 3rd, 1984. Okay, just listen to this. And this, I think, is part of the reason why, as Jews, we have to care. It's very important that we care. This is from Rav Moshe. On reaching the shores of the United States, Jews found a safe haven. The rights guaranteed by the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights have allowed us the freedom to practice our religion without interference and to live in this republic in safety. A fundamental principle of Judaism is Hakaras HaTov. However, what's the source for that? Where do we see that one of the yesodos of Yiddishkeit is Hakaras HaTov? It sounds nice, but I'm saying, where do we see that? Where do we see that it's a core principle of being a Jew is being Makir Tov? Anyone have a raya for that before I keep reading? No, nothing? Where do we see Hakaras HaTov? I could pick a Rashi and Chumash. You could pick anything. Pick a something that...
By the Egyptians.
Okay, by the Egyptians. What do you mean, Nani? Moshe's not hitting the water that saved him?
Or also like Kiger Mayisem Barat.
Okay.
Like we have nice to the Ger because we were...
Okay. There. Okay. Well, I don't know if that's a Karas HaTov. I think that's more empathy. Right? The many, many, many times the Torah says, love the Ger... and respect the ger and provide for the ger is rooted, I think, in a sense of you were once a slave also, so you know the pain of that experience. Well, that's Hakaras HaTov. I think the strongest, and that's a silly thing to say, one of the strongest things that I've seen on this point is from, yeah, Yaakov, you have a mahalach?
Well, maybe the samachta b'chol HaTov, being happy, is that like kind of like being like, Hakaras HaTov is like being thankful for what you have?
That's interesting. Right, you're saying Samachta Bechol HaTov, and how the Tochacha sees the failure of the Samachta Bechol HaTov as what leads to all the destruction of the Tocha, whatever that means, right? I mean, but that's the punchline of all the upheaval in the Tochacha, of all of the destruction, comes down to the Samachta Bechol HaTov, right? Or from the fact that you did not celebrate properly, the lack of, whether it's Simcha, whether it's Hakaras HaTov, okay, could be. There's something there. Definitely something to think about there. I once saw from the Biala Rebbe, originally from Lugano, Switzerland, now from Eretz Yisrael, the Biala Rebbe, the Mevaser Tov, he says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's the first thing we heard at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Right? Now, why do you believe in Hashem? So you'll say, well, because I know he's true. I saw the miracles that he provided for us. And I saw his salvation. But look how Hashem actually says it in the way of Hakaras HaTov. I have the svarim here. I don't remember which volume of the Biala Rebbe it's in. But he says it in one of these svarim, the Mevaser Tov. Maybe the Sefer Achayim is the name of the Sefer. He says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, Asher Eitzi Sicha Me'aretz Yitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. I am Hashem your God, and you will keep my Torah, and you will worship me, and you will believe in me because of the awesome kindness that I provided for you. And he says, in a certain sense, that's Hashem saying, I did something to you that forever changed the trajectory of your life from being a slave to being a leader in the world, for being the chosen people, however you want to define it. And we have to have an infinite amount of Hakaras HaTov. So anytime I do a mitzvah, it's rooted in saying thank you to Hashem for taking me out of Mitzrayim. And we know that's true. I mean, every mitzvah, so many of our mitzvahs, the whole calendar year revolves around Yetzias Mitzrayim. You make Kiddush Friday night, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. You put on your tefillin, there's an element of Zechel Yetzias. Everything is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is that always the context? Why do we always go back to being slaves and then being freed? Because it reminds us that everything that I do is sort of an expression of Hakaras HaTov. By learning Hashem's Torah now and thinking about his ideas, that's a form of Hakaras HaTov, saying thank you to Hashem. Right, for the kindness that he bestowed upon us. So, in a certain sense, everything is rooted in Hakaras HaTov. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, again in 1984, a fundamental principle of Judaism, and I'll send this to you guys if you want to see it inside, or keep a copy of it, it's very nice. A fundamental principle of Judaism is Hakaras HaTov, recognizing benefits afforded us and giving expression to our appreciation. Therefore, it is incumbent upon each Jewish citizen to participate in the democratic system which guards the freedoms we enjoy. The most fundamental responsibility incumbent on each individual is to register and to vote. Therefore, I urge all members of the Jewish community to fulfill their obligation by registering as soon as possible and by voting. By this, we can express our appreciation and contribute to the continued security of our community. Signed, M. Feinstein. M. Feinstein, in English. Okay? All right, so Chava, let me tell you a story. The Satmar Rav and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, just in terms of the importance of learning how to, you know, disagree peacefully, the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky had a great respect for each other, as did Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Soloveitchik, as did Rav Cook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, all the real tzaddikim. They know how to disagree, you know, to disagree in a respectful way. But sometimes they have very strong disagreements. And the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Yaakov, there's some good stories that I've seen over the years of different, you know, sharp comments back and forth between the two of them. I want to tell you just two stories, one which you'll see is relevant. First, I'll tell you one just to make you smile. The Satmar Rebbe, one time, he called together a gathering, a secret gathering, to talk about an urgent matter. It took place in December. It took place in Williamsburg. And he invited Rav Yitzhak Kuttner and Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Ruderman to this secret meeting in Williamsburg. And it was called for 4 o'clock. I told you it was in December, not, you know, so that you understand. The time for davening mincha is very limited. So the meeting was called for 4 o'clock. So when they got there, Rav Yaakov said that maybe we should daven mincha before the meeting, because it's going to be shkia, you know, we have to be mindful of the time. So the Satmar Rebbe said to Rav Yaakov, he said, I already davened. He davened at 1:30 that day, which was very uncharacteristic. Satmar Rebbe would daven after shkia. And he davened extra early that day in order to, you know, to be available for the meeting. So Rav Yaakov said to the Satmar Rebbe, he said, this whole meeting is kedai. He said, I'm not sure what the secret meeting's about. He said, but this whole meeting is kedai, that just once in the Satmar Rebbe's life he'll daven mincha in the proper zman. It was kedai to call together this meeting just to get the Satmar Rebbe to daven. You know, so you know, he held strong by his shita. Obviously, he said it with love and respect for the Satmar Rebbe. So Rav Yaakov, I guess, was more, you know, in lines of the thinking of Rav Moshe Feinstein in terms of this involvement in doing our civic duties and voting, and being involved in government, both here and in Eretz Yisrael. It was the mahalach of Agudas Yisrael. Rav Yaakov was very involved in Agudas Yisrael. The mahalach is we have to advocate for Torah values, and we have to vote, and we have to try to be involved in government and advocacy. And the Satmar Rav, needless to say, was not so interested in that. By the way, it's the Chazon Ish's Yahrzeit this week, and he advocated voting in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Adi Yosef was just his Yahrzeit. He spoke about the importance of voting. The Satmar Rav felt maybe it was a lost cause in his time. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky told people, you have to vote. And he would tell people, it's a mitzvah to vote. So the Satmar Rav said to Rav Yaakov, he said, I don't understand. You really hold it's a mitzvah to vote? Like it's like a real mitzvah, like one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. It's like a real mitzvah, like achilas matzah. Like it's a real mitzvah, like eating matzah on Pesach. So Rav Yaakov says back to him, it's more like achilas mar. It's more like the mitzvah to eat mar. Voting is like the mitzvah of eating mar. Now what was Rav Yaakov saying? It's a great story. I think it's such a great story. What was Rav Yaakov saying? Rav Yaakov was saying, yeah, sometimes you look at both candidates, you look at both parties, and you look at the whole process, and you feel like the whole thing is so gross, it's so dirty, it's so... And yet, that doesn't mean that a person shies away from it, it doesn't mean that a person doesn't try to make a proper hishtadlus, right? Eating mar is not always fun. Some people don't enjoy the taste of mar, but it's a Torah obligation, you know? I mean, nowadays it's the Rabbanon, because we don't have Karam Pesach, but it's an obligation to eat mar. It's an obligation to vote, even if you feel the whole thing in a certain sense is a bidiyavet. So, Chaver, that's what Rav Yaakov said to the Satmar Rav. But I want to at the same time encouraging you to be informed and to try to be educated, to be involved and to vote if you're eligible to do so. I also want to remind, you know, the world. I'm speaking to you, and I'm speaking to myself, and I'm speaking to the world. It's more bederach tefillah than Torah even. To remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And especially when you look at, you know, you look at the way things are happening on the world stage, to remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And not to forget that for a second. Bereishis Bara Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Haya hoveviya melech malchei amlochim akadosh baruch hu. Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem yimloch. Nuchever, ask me a question on that phrase. Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem yimloch. Why do we start with Hashem melech in the present tense? We, you know, if we talk about Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we say, Haya, Hashem was, Hove, Hashem is, Yiyeh, Hashem will forever be. So why would we say Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king right now, Hashem Malach in the past, Hashem Yimloch in the future, why do we do it in that order? Anyone have a thought on this? I saw a beautiful pshat from Rav Mordechai Druck Zatzal. Rav Druck said, because it's so important, first and foremost, to remind yourself wherever you are in the world, when you're so worried what's going to be, if Trump wins, if Biden wins, if this, if that, pause for a second and remind yourself, right now, first and foremost, right now, Hashem Melech. Hashem is the king right now. Hashem is fully in charge right now. It's so important to start with Mitzi. When the world looks chaotic, you start by declaring clear, Hashem Melech right now. There's no suffix about that. I don't just do, you know, in order, Hashem was the king, Hashem still the king, Hashem will be the king. The first thing a person has to scream out and remind himself at any point when he's worried that, you know, Hashem is letting the world get out of control. No, Hashem Melech, Hashem's in charge. He knows what he's doing. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. Okay, so let's learn. I want to learn two pieces from Rav Schwab and one little piece from the Kedusha Slevi. In Megillas Esther. So let's take a look. Right? How does the Megillah begin? It talks about a king, a very powerful king. A king who's very bad for the Jewish people. His name is Ahasuerus. And he's sitting upon his royal throne. Okay? Writes Rav Schwab, his sefer on Chumash is called Ma'ayan Beis HaShoeva. Rav Schwab quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says, Al kisei malchuso amar Rabbi Eivu, ksiv ki lahashem hamalucha. Here's the question that bothers the Medrash. How do we ever ascribe kingship to anyone other than Hashem? The Pasuk's pretty clear in Tehillim. Ki lahashem hamalucha. Hashem is the only true king. So how do we start Megillas Esther by talking about Hamelech Achashverosh? Al kisei malchuso? How do we say such a thing? Va'ata omer al kisei malchuso? The Medrash says, I don't understand how we ever talk about power or authority being given to Basar V'dam, to human beings. Ki lahashem hamalucha, period. Elisha Avar haisa malchus b'Yisrael answers the Medrash, and the answer doesn't make a lot of sense, and I want you to think about it. You're allowed to question a Medrash when you hear something. Right? Well, again, what's the Medrash's question? Hashem is the one who's in charge, so how do we say power is in charge? Here's the answer. L'sha'avar ha'isa malchus b'Yisrael, says the Medrash, it used to be that the malchus belonged to the Jewish people. U'mishachatu, but when we sinned, nitla mehem v'nitna lumas ha'olam. Hashem took it away from us and gave it to Achashverosh. Why is that not an answer to the question? What was the question? Yeah, Avi?
Because both ways, it's still given to man.
Right. The question was, how can a human being ever have malchus? Ki lahashem hamalucha. So we answered, no. It only ended up in the hands of the Goyim because the Jews weren't worthy of it. That's not what we're talking about. I don't care Jew, I don't care not Jew, I don't care good king, I don't care bad king. I'm asking, how could anyone other than Hashem have authority? Ki lahashem hamalucha. So that's exactly where Schwab's very good, Avi. That's exactly where Schwab is bothered by. V'tzarech bir. Eich mitu retzes hakushya mimashenemar ki lahashem hamalucha. How does this answer the question? The question was, Hashem is the only king. How do we answer it by saying, well, in the past, the malchus was by Yisrael, but when we sinned, it was taken away from us and given to the nations of the world. How is that the answer? Okay, everyone follow? V'nira shahaya koshal rev evu shemashmos hakosuv ki Hashem hamalucha. What bothered Rav Evo, again, let's clarify the kasha, and then we'll better understand the answer. Rav Evo's kasha was, Ki la'Hashem ha'malucha, Malchus belongs to Hashem the Melech, Malchei ha'malachim, Ve'eich ksiv ba'achashverosh al kisei malchuso, Ki'ilu ha'malchus yishalo. If Hashem is the one who's the only king, so again, how do we describe Achashverosh sitting on his throne, Achashverosh's throne? Right? There is no throne of Achashverosh. Now again, it doesn't sound like Rav Schwab clarified anything yet, but let's hang tight. Va'al zeh tirtzu, and to that the Medrash responds, Shalisha avar ha'isa malchus v'Yisrael, Umalchus zu kazu ein stira klal malchus shel kadosh baruch hu. Ah, now we're starting to clarify. When we have a Jewish king who implements Jewish values, who advocates for whatever it is that Hashem wants to express in the world, so is that a problem? Is that a contradiction to Kila Hashem Hamalucha? Says Rav Schwab, it says the Medrash, the answer is no. Right? When you have a David HaMelech, whose worldview is in line with the worldview of Hashem, so then David HaMelech is just an extension of what? Of Hashem. David HaMelech understands, my Malchus is not my Malchus, I'm just an extension of the Malchus of Hashem. What was bothering the Medrash? No. Rav Jared, what was bothering the Medrash? What was bothering the Medrash is, but when Achashverosh is in charge, how is that possible? Doesn't that mean that the Malchus has been taken from Hashem and used in a way that's anti-Hashem, against the Jewish people, against Hashem's values? That's the question of the Medrash. When you have a Jewish king, right? Like it says about Shlomo HaMelech, that what? He quotes the Pasuk, Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem. Shlomo sat on Hashem's throne. Why aren't we should be up in arms? What do you mean? How could Shlomo sit on Hashem's throne? No. He's not calling it his throne, he's calling it Hashem's throne. He knows it's Hashem's throne. No problem. Shekoach HaMalucha b'Yisrael niten l'amei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo understands, I'm just an extension, I'm a shliach of Hashem. V'akisei HaMalucha b'Yisrael, hu kisei Hashem. And my throne is Hashem's throne. The question that bothers the Medrash that Rav Schwab is clarifying for us is what? When it says that Achashverosh sat on whose throne? When Achashverosh sat on kisei Malchuso. When Achashverosh sat on his own throne. What do you mean his own throne? How could he have his own throne? Achashverosh doesn't have his own throne. Have you understand? So what does that mean? What does that mean Achashverosh has a throne? Shlomo has a throne. It's not so hard to understand what that means. He's an extension of Hashem. And in fact, it's called Kisei Hashem. It's not called Kisei Shlomo. It's called Kisei Hashem. The Pasuk in Divrei Yamim calls it Hashem's throne. So what does it mean? Amna mishachatu Yisrael. Nitla mehem ha-malchus ve-nitna l'umas ha-olam. But when Hashem's throne has now been captured, as it were, by the nations of the world, so then we ask, what do you mean? Kila Hashem Hamalucha. How is that even possible? How is Hashem's throne overthrown? Right? Overthrown, play on words, throne and throne. Yeah? How is Hashem's throne taken away from him? That doesn't make sense. That's not possible. Perishaniten l'umas ha'olam, koach shal malchus al Yisrael, v'kadosh baruch hu mishtamish b'melech mi'umas ha'olam, Lahaningis in Yone Am Yisrael. Velachain Shayach Lichtov Shiyashav Achashverosh al Kisei Malchuso. So the answer of the Medrash is what? The answer of the Medrash is the truth is nothing did change. When Shlomo sat on the throne, what was Shlomo? Shlomo was an extension of who? Extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Achashverosh sits on the throne, you should realize, says the Medrash, while on the surface it looks like Hashem has lost his throne, it's not true. Hashem is still using Achashverosh as the same tool. He's using him, again, maybe Shlomo understands that he's a tool of Hashem. Maybe Achashverosh thinks he is independent to the point that he calls it his own throne. But from the Torah perspective, from Hashem's perspective, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's got the scepter in their hand. It's still Hashem's scepter, it's still Hashem's throne. Again, look at the words that are underlined. Sheniten le'umas ha'olam koach shel malchus al Yisrael. That when the umas ha'olam are given that authority, when it looks like now, all of a sudden, Achashverosh is in charge, Paro is in charge, right? This one's in charge, that one's in charge. Remind yourself. Call a quick timeout, right? When you're getting into a heated conversation with your friend about politics, which again, I think has a place. I think dialogue is important. Talking about issues is important. But call a timeout for both teams and say, let's just remind ourselves for a second. Hashem Melech. Not Hashem Malach. First, Hashem Melech. Hashem is the king right now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishtamish B'Melech Me'umas Ha'olam L'Hanig Es Inyane Am Yisrael. Which is Inyane Hashem. Hashem uses the Melech in power, whoever he may be, regardless of what he thinks he's doing. Hashem is controlling. Hashem is in charge. Hashem is running the world. Cheva, can someone pull up a pasuk for me? Can you pull it out? I don't want to... Or just pull it up on your phone for a second. Can you open up... Can someone pull up Mishle, Perichaf Aleph? Someone just pull that up for a second. How does Mishle Aleph begin? I hope I have the right source. Someone pull it up and read the pasuk. First pasuk in Mishlei Perek Chaf Aleph. Anyone got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Let's hear.
Pagi mayim lev melech Hashem al kol asher yachpot yatenu.
Okay. Lev of a king, right? Heart of a king is biyad Hashem. So I'll ask you very seriously, Jonathan Berger, is your heart not in the hands of Hashem? Whose heart is not in the hands of Hashem? Every heart is in the hands of Hashem. What do you mean, lev melech biyad Hashem? Why is the wisest of all people have to remind us, oh, by the way, don't forget, lev melech biyad Hashem. The heart of Donald Trump, the heart of Joe Biden, the heart of anyone who has any authority in the world, or is seeking authority in the world, is biyad Hashem. Why do we need to, lev kol adam biyad Hashem. The heart of everyone is in the hands of Hashem. But, chaver, what happens sometimes is we get lost in the sugya, which is an important sugya, and again, hishtadlus is a real thing. I believe in it. And that's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was saying to the Satmar Rav. You have to vote. It may not be a pleasant experience, but you have to try. You have to try to make, you know, whatever you think is right, you have to advocate for it. But it's like achilas mar. But let's remind ourselves, it also has to be like achilas matzah. Matzah is mechla de mehamnusa. When you vote, have the amuna to remind yourself that I'm doing my part the same way I do in everything in my life. I eat, you know, I'm going to eat this banana after shir because I'm hungry and I'm not just going to rely on Hashem to sustain me. I have to do my part. I have to eat. I have to take care of my body. I have to take care of my world if I want it to be functional. But at the end of the day, Hashem is in charge. So lev melech biyad Hashem means what? Don't for a second think. Don't forget that the heart of someone who seems to have great power is very much biyad Hashem. And they're not the one who's in charge, even if Ahasuerus declares it his throne. V'lachein shayach lichtov. And therefore it's reasonable for the pasuk to say that Ahasuerus sat on kisei malchuso. He sat on his throne. Don't be put off by that. Chaver, let's go a step further. V'hainu nami masha amar Rabbi Yochanan in the Medrash in Esther. What did Rabbi Yochanan say in Megillas Esther? Chaver, you know this Medrash. Anytime it says in Megillas Esther, HaMelech Ahasuerus, it's talking about Ahasuerus. And anytime it says HaMelech Stam, who's it talking about? Obviously, Pshat, it's talking about Ahasuerus. But on a deeper level, it's talking about Hashem. HaMelech is like we say in Rosh Hashanah, HaMelech, talking about Hashem. So think about that for a second. It's such an we've heard this Medrash before. It's so interesting, though. Why does Hashem have to hide out in the Megillah when HaMelech in Pshat is talking about Ahasuerus, a wicked king, an enemy of the Jewish people? Why is Hashem hiding there? Why is Rabbi Yochanan saying, no, look deeper, realize that HaMelech is actually not just Ahasuerus, but it's really Hashem. Why? Why is Hashem hiding? Why is Hashem hiding himself in that place? Perish shezehu remez lashkacha pratis shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a reminder to Vashkacha Pratis by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lev Melech Biyad Hashem. Mishlei Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Shuhu Mishtamish B'Ahasuerus L'Tzorech B'nei Yisrael. That Hashem uses Ahasuerus in order to actualize His will in the world. In other words, Hashem never let go of the reins. Again, how does that work with our Hishtadlus and free will? That's a very delicate and complicated question. But don't get lost for a second and think that Hashem is not in charge. And Esther, by the way, lost it for a second. She stopped paying attention for a second, and she gets rebuked for it. Ah, Gabe, I'm so happy that both Gabes, the two Gabes have arrived. Okay, good, I'm so happy that you're both here. Because Esther got herself into trouble for not speaking respectfully of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was a dictator. Ahasuerus was a Rasha. Ahasuerus implemented horrible decrees against the Jewish people. And she spoke negatively about him, and Chazal are critical of Esther. Why? Shouldn't we speak out against bad people? What are Chazal conveying by saying that Esther spoke in a disrespectful way of a king? A bad king, say that he's bad. Why shouldn't she say that? The answer is she has to say that, but she also has to say it with Emunah. Look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Megillah Tezvav Amud Beis, Shenistalka Shechina me'Esther. The Shechina departed from Esther. Why? Because she called Ahasuerus a dog. She used harsh language against Ahasuerus. He was a bad king. She should use harsh language against him. Let's call him names. Let's say nasty things against him. Why did Hashem punish Esther for calling Ahasuerus a dog? And how did she call Achashverosh her dog? Hatzila micherev nafshi miad kelev yechidasi. This pasuk, Tehillim Perachav Beis, we assume is the tefillah of Esther. Right? Even though Tehillim, we say, was written by David HaMelech, Chazal say there were 10 authors of Tehillim. Certain prakim were authored by different people. Esther davened Perachav Beis. It's the parak that we're supposed to recite on Purim. It's the Purim parak of Tehillim. Perachav Beis, and Esther said, Hashem, save me, Hatzila Micherev Nafshi, save my soul from the sword. You can see a hint to Haman, right? Hatzila, hey, Micherev Nafshi, Haman. Miyad Kelev Yechidasi, save me from the dog. She's talking about Achashverosh. And Hashem said, you can't talk like that. You don't like Achashverosh? That's fine. Hashem says, if you ask me to vote, I'm also not voting for Achashverosh. But you can't talk to Achashverosh that way. Why? Why can't you talk to Achashverosh that way? Shehikpir HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-Kvod Malchus Shal Achashverosh. Hashem defended the honor of Achashverosh. You know why? Because he's a melech. And if you put too much weight on Achashverosh and you forget that Hashem is in charge, so that's a misstep. That's a misstep. You forgot, Esther, you forgot for a second that Lev Melech, the pasuk we just read in Mishlei, Lev Melech Biyad Hashem, that the heart of Achashverosh is in the hands of Hashem. And by putting too much power, by believing too much litov ulara in the Donald Trumps and the Joe Bidens of the world, then you've lost yourself. You forgot that Hashem is in charge. Shehikpir HaKadosh Baruch Hu kvod malchus shal Achashverosh. V'yesh lafarish. We can explain it as follows. Shekevan sheniten lo v'mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu karach usrara. Since Achashverosh's power was given to him, his authority was given to him by Hashem, to be a melech over B'nai Yisrael, Lachain Aser Livzoso. You can't speak about him in a derogatory fashion. That doesn't mean that you don't have a right to take him to task for his policies. But it has to be done with a sense of amuna. I think this is such a nuanced and important point, Chevra, in the way that a person expresses their opinion about things. He goes on, he brings one more proof. He quotes the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis, the debate between Rav and Shmuel. Is Achashverosh a stupid king, or is he a very wise king? Is he a melech pikeach, or is he a melech tipesh? What exactly is that machlokas? Right? And the answer is, they both believe that Achashverosh is a tipesh. Achashverosh is not a tzaddik. The question is, when he implements a certain policy or not, right? Is that because Hashem is guiding his hand at that moment? Is that Achashverosh the essential Achashverosh? And again, it's hard to sometimes decipher. Right? But at the end of the day, we have to remind ourselves, we have to fall back on this truth. And that is that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And don't ever put too much confidence in any political leader, any leader, any person of authority. Rav Schwab ends this piece by saying that you'll notice that in Jewish history, I'm going to show you one other little piece from Rav Schwab in a moment, but you'll notice that throughout our history, we sometimes find nevuah coming to the world in also very unusual ways. Right? We have nevuahs of, we have prophecy, we have messages that are delivered to us by the kings of the nations of the world. Why is that so? How does that happen? And Rav Schwab says again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different mouthpieces to deliver messages to the world. And we have to be humble in trying to interpret those messages. Rav Schwab ends the piece. He says, why is it that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first base of Mikdash? Belshazzar, right? The Psukim in Sefer Daniel, that reveal things about Gullus and Geula and redemption, all sorts of great truthful mysteries, Psukim and Tanakh, that are part of our Torah tradition. Why is it that they come through these unusual channels sometimes? And the answer is, Shaharei, Haim, Hayu, Malachim, Al Yisrael, these individuals who were bad kings for the Jewish people, in terms of the policies that they had, and the way that they interacted with the Jewish people, they were not good for the Jews. But Hashem put them in position, and because of the relationship to Klal Yisrael, they had dreams, they had visions that were true. It doesn't mean that they were big tzaddikim. It doesn't mean that they were on the level of prophecy in their own right. But again, if Hashem put someone in power, if Hashem gave a person authority, we have to respect that. And Esther is criticized for failing to respect that. Okay? However, let me show you one other example of this in the writings of Rav Schwab. It's in Parshas Ve'era, and it's when Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aaron to be respectful of Paro. Paro is a bad guy. I think we would all agree to that. Paro's policies of killing Jewish babies is not good for Klal Yisrael. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of Moshe and Aaron, you have to respect Paro. Why do I have to respect Paro? Echever, look what he writes here. It's really brilliant and it's really important. The Medrash Tanhuma says on the Parshas Va'era, when Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, right, to go to Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Again, we're calling him Melech. I thought Hashem is the only king. Melech Malchem Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the king of all kings. How do we give anyone else? The term itself should bother you. When you say Hashem is the king of all kings, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like we're saying Hashem is in first place, and Achashverosh is in second place, and Trump is in third place, and Paro is in fourth place, right? And this one's in fifth place, and Biden's in sixth place, or whatever your pecking order is in terms of who you like or don't like, who you think is wicked, who you think is good, right? But how is Hashem even in that in the rankings? Hashem is not the best king of all the kings. Hashem is categorically a different type of king. Why do we say that Hashem is Melech Malchei Hamlachim? But the answer is that Hashem is the king who controls all the kings. And when Paro is in power, or Achashverosh is in power, and when JFK is in power, and when Clinton's in power, and when Truman's in power, and when Eisenhower's in power, and when Obama's in power, and when Reagan's in power, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, it does matter, again, on a pshat level, and we should care deeply about it, but let's not forget who's really in charge. And the answer is the Borei Olam. Hashem is the Melech who controls all the kings. The king who controls all the kings. Let's pause for a second and learn the Kedusha Slefi for a second. Okay, let's go in a different direction just for half a second, and then we'll wrap up with Rav Schwab. We'll finish up. Okay? There's a beautiful Vart from the Berditchever in the section, the Likutim section. Ashi, which one do you have there? Which edition do you have there? Which one? Okay, so I'm not sure how to find it in that one. In the Likutim section, he has a piece called Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the name of the piece, and that's what we're talking about today. And I'm asking a question on it right now. How do you call Hashem the king of all kings? Again, it implies that he's in first place, but he somehow is comparable to the other kings. Yeah, it's probably in the second volume if you have two volumes. How do you put Hashem in the same ranking? It's categorically different. So here's how the Berditchever, the Heilige Berditchever, the staunch defender of the Jewish people, here's how Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev understood Melech, Malchem, Lachem, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki inyan hu, the way to explain it as follows. Pasuk says in Shmuel, the very end of Sefer, the very end of Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, I'm sorry, at the end of David HaMelech's life, it says this is the final speech of David HaMelech, at the end of Shmuel Beis, not the very second to last parak, I think, of Shmuel Beis. It says that David HaMelech was a righteous ruler who ruled with Yiras Elokim. The pasuk, but if you put a comma in a slightly different place in the pasuk, when it says, what does it say? Moshel, I think the pasuk says Moshel ba'adam tzadik, which means that David ruled with righteousness, comma Moshel b'Yiras Elokim, and he ruled with awe of God. But Chazal and Rashi, by the way, in Sefer Shmuel on the spot quotes this Chazal. It's Gemara in Moed Katan Tes Zayin, I believe. The Gemara reads it. Tzadik Moshel b'Yiras Elokim. The Tzadik, who's the Tzadik? Who's the Tzadik? The Tzadik. The Rebbe. The Chofetz Chaim is the Tzadik. Right? Whoever your Tzadik is, whichever Rebbe. Rabbi Nachman is the Tzadik. Rav Herschel Schechter is the Tzadik. Whoever the Tzadik is. The Talmidei Chacham, the Tzadikim of the generation, have the ability, the Tzadik is Moshel, can rule b'Yiras Elokim. He can rule literally with the awe of God. Who does he rule? Who can the tzaddik rule over? You know who the tzaddik can rule over? You know what the Gemara says? It's a shocking Gemara. The Gemara says the tzaddik can rule over Hashem. It's a Gemara in Moed Katan Tes Zayin, right here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer v'tzaddik mavatel. You've all heard of many a Hasidish story about Hashem made a decree and then Noam Elimelech overturned it. Right? The tzaddik, that's not just some Hasidish Avar, that's a Gemara. Tzaddik, a tzaddik has the ability to overturn Hashem's decrees. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there. Hashem decrees v'tzaddik mevatel. The tzaddik turns it over. So the tzaddik sometimes can overpower Hashem. But chever, you know what we have to remind ourselves? Even as we say such a audacious thing that the tzaddik can overpower Hashem. But who's got the final say? You can't for a second. I believe this Torah. I believe a tzaddik can overturn Hashem's decrees. I believe when we daven, Va'amich kulam tzadikim. Everyone can overturn Hashem's decree. We all have an element of tzaddik in us. You hear that someone, God forbid, is sick, and you daven for them, and Hashem made them sick, and you changed Hashem's mind. Sarah can't have children, she davens, she's blessed with children. Avram can't have children, he davens, he's blessed with children. You'll say, that's Avram's and the Sarah's of the world? It's you also. You have a koach of tzaddik to overturn Hashem's decrees. But you know what melech malchei hamlachim is? Says the Berditcher, listen. Nimtza shiyesh biyad tzaddik limloch ala kadosh baruch hu. A righteous person has the ability, in quotes, to rule over Hashem. Ki hu moshel biyaras, so he rules with his God-fearing nature. Hashem, so to speak, gives him the royal scepter. He lets him, you know, play president for a day, play king for a day. Ach memshala sholo hu atzmo mehabore. But the tzaddik has to remind himself that it gets kind of, you know, circular. But the power that Hashem gave me to rule over him comes from Hashem. Don't forget that. Ach memshala sholo, his power that he has to rule Hashem comes from Hashem. Shuhu nosin lo koach levato gzerosa. Hashem, you gave me the ability, you gave me permission to rule over you. Ulefi zeh, HaTzadik nikra melech hamalachim. Listen carefully. The tzadik is called what? The melech hamalachim. What does that mean? The king who rules over the king. In other words, the tzadik, who's called the king, and you have to just know one more gemara. The gemara says in Gittin Samach Beis, that man malki, the gemara asks the question, who is called the king? Man malki, who's called the king? Rabbanan, the rabbis. The rabbis are called kings, because they have authority. Torah authority. Right? I'm not just talking about communal authority, if you believe that, but Torah authority, right? The ability to paskin a shayla. So the rabbis are like kings. A tzaddik is like a king. So melech hamalachim, that the tzaddik is a king who rules the king. In other words, the tzaddik rules Hashem, who's the king. Shehu moshel b'habori yisbarach levatok zeirosav. V'zeh hakoach ba mehabori atzmo yisbarach. But that power itself comes from Hashem. He gives the tzaddik the ability to be called the king, that malchi are the rabbanon. Now you understand the term for the rest of your life. Hashem is the king who rules over the kings, the rabbis, who rule over the king, Hashem. You hear? Hashem gives the power to the rabbis to rule over himself, but don't forget, it all comes from Hashem. That's what melech malchei hamalachim means. Kihu melech al malchi rabbanon. He is the king over the rabbis who are the kings who he has given the authority to rule over himself, to overturn his gezeros. So chaver, that always has to be, regardless of how much, you know, how invested you are in getting involved and advocating and understanding and voting, etc. You have to always come back to this basic truth that what? Hashem is in charge. Hashem was in charge, Hashem is in charge, Hashem forever will be in charge. Okay, so let's wrap up. Let's finish this piece from Rav Schwab. So Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, I want you to give, Rashi quotes it in Parshas Va'era, I want you to give kavod to who? To Paro. He's a king. Right? The Mechilta, the Medrash says, Matzinu lemeidim shemichuyavim lachlo kavod lemalchus afiluch lemelech rasha. You have to give respect. You have to speak in a way that's respectful, even when speaking to a king who's a rasha. Esther made that mistake. She called Ahasuerus a dog. You can't talk that way. It's not an appropriate way for a person to talk. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, and here's the last point from Rav Schwab. Really an amazing Gemara. Probably the strongest Gemara that I know that speaks about how to try to understand, you know, what's going on in politics. What's going on in the minds and the hearts of government officials. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rava bar Chasya, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Okay, this is Rav. Rav and Shmuel, Rav. If you were to make all of the oceans into ink, and you took every reed from the riverbanks and you turned it into a quill, and you took the sky and you turned it into parchment, into paper, and you were trying to write, you were writing forever, articles and newspaper, you know, articles and blog posts and tweets, if you were to debate it forever and ever and ever and ever, if you were to write and to read and to analyze everything that ever could be said on this topic, ein maspikim lichtov chalala shel rishus. we would not complete writing and expressing and trying to understand the chalala shel reshus, the authority of the government, the mind, the inner workings of the government, of reshus. Reshus means government, authority. Maikra, what's the pasuk? Amr of Misharshia, Shemayim larum va'aretz la'omek, to the heights of the heaven, to the depths of the earth, v'leiv malachim, what's really going on in Trump's heart or Biden's heart? Ein cheker. It's endless, it's infinite, we have no idea. You can analyze it, you could argue, and you probably can and should. You could say, I think it's this, I think it's that. Again, Hashem never asked you to throw out your brain. You're allowed to think. You're supposed to think. But you will never understand the full depth of what drives any person. Is it their own kavod? Is it to make money? Is it a genuine concern for the American people, for the world at large, for the Jewish people, for the state of Israel? We have no idea. The Gemara is categorically clear about it. We will never understand the full depths of the government. They say we will never understand the full depths of any person. Human beings are infinitely complex. Rashi explains over there, Chalala shel reshus means Omek libam shel hamoshel. The depths of the heart of leaders we will never understand. Shehutzarech lios lo lev lakama medinos lamas hakatzuv v'lakama nochamos v'lakama mishpatim v'akol biyom echad. And part of the reason it's so complicated, Rashi is actually always being malamed zchus. Because it's hard to figure out taxes, and it's hard to figure out when to wage war, and it's hard to figure out laws, and it's hard to figure these things out. And to do it all on the same day, and to take into consideration the lives of millions and millions and millions of people, it's really hard. And yes, one policy is going to help some people, and it's going to hurt another people. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not so simple at all. It's super complicated. So when people try to think in very black and white terms, it's not so simple. It's not simple at all. There's tremendous nuance and tremendous depth to it, and we're not going to figure it out. But you know what's bothering with Schwab? What's bothering with Schwab? The same thing was bothering him in the Megillas Esther piece. You just described infinite depth to who? To Nancy Pelosi, and to Mitch McConnell, and to Chuck Schumer, and to Governor Cuomo, etc., etc., etc. And Rav Schwab says, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't like the word infinite by anyone other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't tell me about the infinite depths of government leaders. Look what Rav Schwab says. T'mua ma'od. How could Rav describe the authority that's given to kings and to leaders and to politicians, right, and to governments? How could the Gemara describe such infinite depths? And we're not talking about, again, if you'll tell me we're just talking about Jewish kings who understand that they're just an extension of Hashem, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about secular leaders who are not advocating necessarily for Hashem's policies. How do we use terms describing the infinite depth of human beings the way we describe the infinite knowledge of Hashem? And the Gemara is not just saying that it's infinitely convoluted. It's not a knock. The Gemara is not just knocking by saying halal, or yeah, it's so convoluted. Don't waste your time trying to figure it out. The Gemara is being moded that it's really deep. It's a deep sugya. But why are we describing such a sugya in such a deep way? And saying if we had all the oceans were ink and all the reeds were quills and all the heaven and earth were parchment and the whole world was writing, we would never finish it. That's the same lashon the Gemara uses about Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Rabbi Akiva knew so much Torah that if you made the oceans into ink, and if you made the Shemayim into parchment, we would never finish writing Rabbi Akiva's Torah. And the amount of Torah that Rabbi Akiva knows compared to the infinite depth of Torah is like one drop in the ocean. So now you're saying politics is the same inyan as the Torah of Rabbi Akiva? However, what's Akdamos? You know what Akdamos is? What's Akdamos? When do we say Akdamos? When do we chant Akdamos? Yeah, the wee early morning hours of Shavuos. Right, we say Akdamos as you're falling asleep in Shul after pretending to stay up all night learning. Yeah? That's called Akdamos. It's a beautiful and complex poem written in very hard poetic Aramaic. V'lo sipek prishusa. Listen to what it says. This is talking about God, not talking about politicians. Right? On the morning that we're celebrating, on Shavuos morning, we're celebrating Hashem giving us infinity, the Torah. That's infinity. An infinite window into the infinite wisdom of God. V'lo sipek prishusa, gvil ilu reki Kenei kol chorshasa. It's exactly what the Gemara says about understanding politics, right? That what? It says that the gvil means the parchment, are the heavens, and the quills are writing, and the dio ilu yame, right? And the ink is the oceans, daire ara safre, and the inhabitants of the earth are the scribes, hadar mari shmaya. So again, you're saying the laws of and the policies and the contemplations of human beings are infinitely deep, like the Torah, like the wisdom of Hashem. That sounds like a crazy thing to say. But Chavir, you understand? You know what Rashab's going to say because we already learned the other piece. We'll just wrap up for another 1 minute. When Hashem gives power to anyone, be it a Jewish king or a non-Jewish king, be it someone who you think's policies are good for Jews or bad for Jews, Ein heim be'emes hamoshlim abnei Yisrael. They are not the ones who are in charge. Know that going into Tuesday, regardless of what happens in this election. Sha'arei hivtichanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, Va'af kam zos biyosim be'eretz oyveyem. Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim. Hashem says, I will never abandon you. In the darkest of gullus, in the most confusing of moments, Hashem says, I'm in charge. It's never out of control. Hashem melech in the present tense. Nimsa shakadosh baruch hu hasholeit al bnei Yisrael. I am the one in charge. I'm the one conveying the messages. V'kol masha malchus harasha gozeres al klal Yisrael. Emes maisa elokei Yisrael. Whatever happens, all decrees are coming through Hashem. And the tzaddik is manipulating Hashem in the best of ways to overturn a gezerah because he's a melech who overrules the king. Don't forget, says the Berditcher, melech malachim. Hashem is still in charge. Hashem is still in charge. And it's for that reason that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron speak to Paro, who's a disaster for Klal Yisrael, they have to give him respect. When Elisha HaNavi has to deal with a wicked king Ahav, he has to give him respect. When Esther talks to a Paro, to a Achashverosh, and she calls him a dog, Hashem says, I'm abandoning you, Esther. You can't talk that way. You have to talk with respect. Va'atzas HaMelech V'sarav Hi B'yad Hashem. Again, Chavir, don't forget that pasuk in Mishlei. Lev Melech B'yad Hashem. The ideas of kings, of noblemen, of officers, it's all B'yad Hashem. Ve'enu el bechinas chalal, she'en mamish rifneim. Why is it called the chalala shal rishus? The Gemara called it the chalala. Chalala means the empty space. The empty space of the government. Because it's empty in a sense. It's ein bo mamish. They're not the ones who are in charge. On a pshat level, it's very real. And again, we have to take it seriously. But on a sod level, on a deeper level, it's ein bo mamish. There's nothing other than Hashem. Einon bovado. Einon bovado. Okay, so Chavir, again, I hope this was interesting. I hope this was informative. I hope this is this is very important to me. I think this is very, very real stuff. I'm curious to hear if anyone wants to comment or share. I'm curious to hear your take on all these things. But again, going into what will definitely be an interesting week in this country, I think regardless of how things play out, you know, I think we have to just remind ourselves that first things first, Bereishis bara Elokim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, HaYehovah V'yiya, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vaed, and never to forget that. So again, it's together tefillah that we should know that and we should feel that and we should have that emunah in everything that we do. What do you want to say?